Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Osiris.
What's going on? It's Karina Reichman, and we're here for episode 3. Count them. 1, 2, 3 of Inappropriate Happiness. And I am joined, as always, by my man, Isaac Sloan. How we doing?
Karina, I am fantastic on this Wednesday early afternoon.
That's correct.
How are you?
If you're listening, this podcast comes out on Thursday. So, you know, we're just trapped in time.
It's going to be very fresh, though.
Yes. We keep the news fresh here at Inappropriate Happiness, and I'm really fucking excellent. I don't know if I've cursed enough on this podcast. I probably have, but let me tell you, I'm just fantastic, and this is good stuff. We've both, you know, I just came back from tour last week, as our fervent listeners know, and I've made up for lost time. You know, before I left, I felt like I sort of wasn't seeing a ton of live music because I was, you know, it was a little Omicron-y. It was a little, you know, Karina hiding from the world and rehearsing, you know what I mean? But I feel like I've made up for a lot of lost time, and I have seen quite a bit of live music in the last week that I've been home. We saw one show together, but let's start with the stuff we've seen apart, I feel like. That the math? I think that's the math. So, came back. Went to Webster Hall to see Sons of Kemet.
Right.
Which,
it's a good,
you know,
gig.
Good gig. Hot gig. And they are certainly on tour, making it rain. Go see them across the nation. They're playing all around. You know, two horn players.
Okay.
Two drummers. Very cool. Really an excellent, excellent gig. Brits, and they're really cool. I don't know, I recommend that to anybody who is just like, Sons of Kemet, what's going on with that? And they're also on the Bonnaroo lineup as well, which we will touch on later in this episode. But I saw that, first things first. Then, oh yeah, that was the one we saw together. We'll get to that in a second. Then the Revivalists played Radio City Music Hall. They had postponed that gig for 2 years since the beginning of the pandemic. That was booked and rescheduled and blah, blah, blah. And it was very cathartic just all around to see those guys finally play that, what I would call a clutch cargo gig.
Right. That's a pretty good gig to get, Radio City Music Hall in New York City.
It was really, really rad. And then afterwards they had sort of, you know, something of an after party where they basically, you know, the downstairs in Radio City, for those who don't know, the downstairs is where the bathrooms are. And like the powder room, and it's all, and there's some bars down there.
Very elegant.
It's a very elegant downstairs. So they sort of like roped that off, and you know, friends and family and whatnot were all mingling downstairs. And it was a great occasion to just see people that you hadn't seen since Nam and a half. So that was cool. And then we're staying on the separate shows. I saw one of my favorite new artists. His name is Genesis Owusu. O W USU. He's a young, I would call him a rapper, but he's so much more than a rapper. This guy, he's younger than I am. He's from Australia. He's like, what, like 23, 22, Australian slash from Ghana, sort of. He's got, you know, one of those insane voices and just deliveries, and he's so eclectic. It's unbelievable. The show kept me gripped from moment one. It was his first show in New York at the Bowery Ballroom.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, first show in New York. I had to be there, and I'm really glad I was there. And I don't know. That's, yet again, musical recommendation from your girl, Karina. Check out his record. It's called Smiling With No Teeth. Mm-hmm. This record did it to me from listen number one. So that was just something I was really looking forward to, and I'm so glad I checked it out.
And as a live show?
Well, here's the deal with the live show. He made the most of so little. Like, you know, when you see an MC that's just like singing along to tracks, right?
Sure, yeah.
Which we've seen plenty of in our day, you know, and that's a total thing, you know. Obviously, we're live band people. Mm-hmm. We like to see people playing instruments and whatnot, and there was none of that. But I know when he, you know, rises through, you know, venue size and whatnot, when he basically, it was him and four other like hype men slash MCs, but they like had choreographed dance moves and like held up lights and did all kinds of crazy shit and like had all these costume changes, and like it was definitely theatrical and like really, really cool on that level. But when that guy's got a drummer, a keyboard player, a horn section, a guitar player, it's going to be the most next level shit of all time. I really think that.
That's awesome.
I look forward to seeing it.
Very cool to catch it in a club.
Yeah, and on its first time through the U.S.
Very cool.
So, Isaac, before we do the one where we saw music together, you saw a show without me.
Yes, Bob Weir.
Yeah.
And the Wolf Pack. Bob Weir with his trio, Don Was on bass, and Jay Lane on drums, the Wolf Brothers, and the Wolf Pack hit Radio City Music Hall, where you saw the Revivalists.
Boom.
The two nights after the Revivalists on Saturday, April 2nd, and Sunday, April 3rd, in celebration of the Bobby solo album Ace that came out in 1972. So that's 50 years ago.
Yo.
And, you know, that album is basically Bob with the Grateful Dead, billed as Bob Weir. There's no Pigpen on it, but otherwise it's Jerry and Billy and Mickey. And, you know, that year Jerry also put out the Garcia album, and Mickey put out a solo album himself. And so it was a year of side projects after, you know, of course, Europe 72 and all of that as well. But Ace is an incredible album. I caught the Sunday night show, and Bob came out and played a debut, a song that's called She Knows What I'm Thinking, Bob's solo acoustic first time played.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to come out with a debut while also celebrating music you wrote 50 years ago. That's not every artist can do that, and Bob's surely pulled it off. And then he was joined by the Wolf Pack, which includes violin and cello and Barry Sless on pedal steel, as well as some horns. I played Fever, the Eddie Cooley song.
As in, when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight.
That's right.
Oh, all day
with Bob on a gold top Les Paul. I've never seen him play that.
That's like such a crazy image in my brain. I can't even compute it.
And then Jack Straw. And then, yeah, the Ace album in full with Tyler Childers on Greatest Story Ever Told. Brittany Spencer on Walk in the Sunshine, which is a real rarity. The Grateful Dead never played that in concert, to my knowledge. It was played by Rat Dog once. But yeah, this is an unusual kind of bust out. But you're playing the album in full. Of course, playing in the band. Looks Like Rain, Brittany Spencer came back, and they really dug into that one. Very emotional performance. Closing it out with Mexicali Blues, One More Saturday Night, which was funny to hear on a Sunday, and Cassidy. So that's a long first set. That's 11 songs in the first set.
Wow.
And then they came back. Mama tried, turn on your love light in the full Terrapin Station suite, which was really beautiful. The horns really got a chance to shine. And, you know, the extra instrumentation really threw it over the edge. Beautiful performance. Samson and Delilah with Brittany Spencer. And then John Mayer of Dead End Company comes out for a ripping Sugar Magnolia, Scarlet Begonias, The Other One, Morning Dew, Sunshine Daydream to close out the second set. This was a long show. It started promptly at 8:05 and people left at midnight. That with a standard 40-minute set break.
Wow.
And of course, not Fade Away as the encore. And Dead & Company just last week announced they'll be hitting the road this summer, starting June 11th at Dodger Stadium, hitting some of their usual spots, Folsom Field in Boulder, Colorado, Wrigley Field in Chicago. And closing it out with two nights at New York City's Citi Field, July 15th and July 16th.
Wow. Wow. I mean, a lot to digest there.
A lot to digest.
Did people go crazy when John Mayer came out?
Oh, as you can imagine, this is a Sunday night at Radio City Music Hall. The audience is pumped, but, you know, taking it easy. And then they get the extra special guest of John Mayer coming out to soothe their souls with some beautiful electric guitar. Kid can play, man.
Kid can play. That's what they say. Bobby's like, oh, kid can play. What's... Johnny, get out here, baby.
Well, people are really loving the dynamic between the two of them. I think it's a really beautiful thing. It seems like a nice friendship. I mean, who would not want to be friends with Bob Weir?
I'd literally love to be friends with Bob Weir. I'm putting it out right now. Bobby, you listening? You listening to Appropriate Happiness, episode 3? Bobby, what are you doing? Bobby, it's Karina. No, you hang up first. No, you. Anyway, great talk. Love you, Bobby. Get out of here. No, get over here. Literally, get over here. Hey, big fan. Everybody would love to be friends with Bobby. But I agree, and that's really cool. And I don't know, to have, like, you know, young Childers and young-ish Mayer, you know,
totally
ripping it up and sort of... And Britney's, you know, breathing youthful energy into that whole situation, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the Looks Like Rain, probably the best version I've heard since 1970. No.
Absolutely. That's so great. I mean, I'm
all
sad
jokes
I missed
aside,
that.
It was beautiful.
That's so sick. Yeah. That's so sick. Well, Bobby, we throw it up for you and your Wolf Bros and all your other bros, Dead & Company Bros. The whole nine. Very, very cool. It's nice to, you know, we could go on for days about just how, you know, the everlasting strength of the Dead catalog and, you know, all of the different permutations, but that sounded like a cool one, and I'm glad you caught it. And shifting gears entirely, we have the one show we saw together, the Disco Biscuits.
We were bound to talk about them at some point on this podcast.
It had to
We
happen.
Made it till episode 3.
We held out. For those who don't know, Isaac introduced me to the Disco Biscuits when we were just children. He was perhaps the youngest, headiest fan of them all. He knew every note, every word, everything. Isaac, you've seen what? Isaac, for the record, is a year younger than I am. Isaac is 27 now, but has been seeing the Disco Biscuits since you were, what, 13, 14?
I was taken to see them on my 14th birthday.
There you go. And I joined you shortly thereafter. I was perhaps 16, but you knew everything. And I love it. I love going. It's an atmosphere like none other. I love when it gets all, you know, trancy and just absolutely, you know, fucks your face over the head, like, with insanity.
Totally.
That's the best part. It's really, you can't get that anywhere else. But I still don't know anything. You know what I mean? Like, I know a couple tunes, but, like, there are so many of them, and they play them backwards, and, like, who knows what's going on. It's the best. It's really an amazing thing to behold, and I love going to see the Disco Biscuits with you specifically because you can explain what's happening to me, which is great. So on Thursday, we went to the Capitol Theater and saw a great show of all older material for the most part.
Yes, this is March 31st, which was a Thursday, and they played a real TBT, Throwback Thursday kind of set list, opening with Chemical Warfare Brigade, playing Once a Fiddler Paid, House Dog Party Favor. These are all tunes that are, you know, kind of historic in the Disco Biscuits catalog, and, you know, it's unusual that they all show up in the same show together.
Sure. Very, very cool. Very, very cool.
Very cool.
We had a hell of a time. And
we did. Absolutely.
And you went back.
Yes. Well, just to fill the listeners in, on April 1st, they played a fan-written set list, which, you know, included an encore of a new song called Friend Like Steve and Feel Like a Stranger, the Grateful Dead song. This was the FLS encore, both songs with the initials FLS.
We love that.
But the show also included their song Spaga, a C to B, you know, really keeping with some of the older tunes and letting them sort of develop a real kind of psychedelic three-night run at one of Jam Music's best homes, the Cap. But yeah, I returned the next night on Saturday, April 2nd, and they another fan-written set list. They opened with a song called Denmark Massive, which was written by the New Deal's Jamie Shields and hadn't been played since 2008. It was very odd. Even I, a jaded Disco Biscuits fan, was like, what is going on?
Yes.
But it was one of those really sort of patient shows. You know, they really sort of took their time developing each theme that they touched on. And it was a real reminder that patience doesn't mean sort of slow and meandering. Patience, you can be patient in the real sort of peak or throw of a jam and still sort of keep things rolling in a meaningful way, which I thought was very cool.
That's awesome.
I enjoyed both shows.
Dude, I mean, like you said, the Cap, a fantastic home for this sort of music, and I feel like specifically for them, there's something very, very cool about seeing the Biscuits at the Cap, like calling a spade, it just transforms into a spaceship.
Yes, and absolutely.
Things get crazy. Sick, dude.
Yeah.
Sick. Is that all the shows we've seen?
That is.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Well, I can't wait to tell our fervent listeners about all the shows we see next week. I'm going up to play with Marco Benevento this weekend, the Sinclair in Boston on Thursday, the Higher Ground in Burlington on Friday, and Fairfield Stage 1 in Connecticut on Saturday. So that will be great. And then I'll be back. And then we will just be yucking it up as per usual.
Very exciting announcement coming out of your camp last week that I know our fans want to hear about.
Oh, dude.
You are our fans.
I know.
You are going to play the Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival in Manchester, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It's June 16th through 19th this summer.
Insane. Absolutely insane. I never thought I'd see the day, Isaac. And really blown away by that one. And I cannot wait. I'm playing Friday. And that will be a crazy, crazy thing. And, you know, not to get too deep into it now, but people have been writing to me being like, you know, I want to know, like, what? Like, because I posted this whole thing where there are photos of you and I, ages 15 and 14, at this festival. And I said that, you know, you couldn't top those memories and wouldn't want to try, you know? So I didn't go back for, you know, ever. And I said to myself that I would only go back if I was booked on the festival, which I thought was a pipe dream and a half, just because, you know. And now it's happening. So, dude, I mean, literally, I barely knew Isaac. That's not true. We knew each other, but, like, not live in an RV together.
Right.
At ages 14 and 15, you know, and, like, go to this crazy music festival together vibe quite yet. But you were posting on Facebook or something that you were going to Bonnaroo, and I was like, oh, my God, dude, I'd love to go. And you're like, oh, yeah, you want to come? Like, let's go. And then it all sort of fell into place, which was the craziest thing, kind of chaperoned both by your parents and, you know, Isaac and I went to school with Trey Anastasio's daughters, and the Anastasio family kind of, you know, hooked us up and liaised our whole party, you know, such that we could have really, you know, like an RV that was basically next to backstage. And, like, you know, us as young kids, we got to go in the practice room when Fish was rehearsing with Bruce Springsteen, playing Mustang Sally, playing Glory Days, like some of the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life, you know? And just to think that, like, we started there and I got completely obsessed with the idea that I would be surrounded by music the rest of my life there. Not that I didn't have that concept before, but anyway, it's an emotional thing for me, you know, to go back under these circumstances, you know, and having all those memories and all the memories we've had since then, it kind of started it all for me, you know?
Yeah. Likewise. I mean, like thinking about just being like, oh yeah, let's go. Thank God it worked out well, because it sort of set the precedent for what else could take off and what else did take off.
100%. And just saying yes and being like, you know, my parents, they knew your parents, but like sort of. And like we put them in touch.
It was a real kind of stretch. And then next thing you know, we're picking you up at the gate.
Yeah, I flew down separately from these guys and like, you know, took a shuttle to get there and like just stood outside the gates and like, you know, had like a shitty cell phone at the time. It was 2009 and like, you know, you guys found me and there I was in like a government mule tie-dye and a tie-dye like headband looking ridiculous. And you found me. So, I mean, it's an amazing thing. And I'm just so grateful to be on that. I never thought I'd play a major festival like that. I really had no conception that that would happen to me. I played Outside Lands with Marco, but that's about as close as it got to mainstream. You know what I mean? And this
well,
is crazy.
I think they're just going to keep coming. Oh, and you're joined on the lineup by Sons of Kemet.
Yes.
Along with many others like Goose, Pigeons Playing Ping Pong, people from our scene like Billy Strings.
King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
And as well as, you know, as you said, major music. It's a major, major music festival. We got J. Cole, Tool, 21 Savage, Stevie Nicks, Machine Gun Kelly. and Maggie Rose, who is another Osiris Media podcaster. She has a show called Salute the Songbird. And this week we are recommending Alison Russell's episode. I love Alison Russell. She's a Grammy nominated artist.
Love.
I think her music is beautiful. Definitely check that one out. Karina, what do you say?
This is it, baby. This is it. Dude, unbelievable. Great to shoot the shit with you, as always. We love Maggie Rose. We love Salute the Songbird. Keep your eyes peeled, you know. There might be a songbird by the name of Karina Reichman that shows up on there in these coming weeks. So, looking forward to that. And again, Osiris Network, dude. We love these guys. We love Brian Brinkman, our main man. We love RJB, our other main man. And we love Marlo Shankweiler, our producer, making us sound glorious every single time. And we look forward to joining you here on Inappropriate Happiness next week. Signing out, it's Karina and Isaac. Later.
Osiris.
Hey, music fans. We wanted to let you know about Music on the Mountain, a show that will feature Anders Osborne, Dogs in a Pile, and Saints and Liars. This show will be directly after the Divided Sky Foundation's fun run at 2 p.m. on Saturday, May 18th at the base of Akemo Mountain in Ludlow, Vermont. The show is presented by The Phoenix, a national nonprofit organization offering support to those in recovery and anyone impacted by substance use to celebrate recovery. If you're running in the Divided Sky Foundation's fun run, you'll be automatically registered for the show. It's a family-friendly event, and all proceeds from ticket sales and other donations benefit the Divided Sky Foundation. Visit Music on the Mountain, that's musiconthemtn.com, for more info and to get tickets. That's musiconthemtn.com. Hope you enjoy.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget. And we decide if they brought the one-hit thunder or were nothing more than a one-hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week, so pass the Dutchie, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.